Sound? Yep. Tonight we're going to start, I think it's in chapter 8, dealing with the last aspect of the soul, dealing with the will. If you would, turn with me to Romans, the 7th chapter. Now, the will is the most important aspect of your soul. Most important aspect of your soul. The will is where your decisions come from. The will is what controls your future, the outcome of your future. The will is the thing that Satan attacks the most, because your decisions come from your will. Now, your emotions, your memory, your intellect, all those things, all those other aspects of your soul feeds information to the will for the will to make a decision. So, I give you an example. You know, a lot of times we blame, in the Garden of Eden, we like to blame the serpent. But the serpent just did one thing, affect the will, made a suggestion. But it was actually Adam and Eve that decided to eat that fruit. One suggestion from the serpent. Then Eve looked at the fruit. Adam looked at the fruit, seen it was good to eat, it was pretty good to eat, and then made the decision. So your will is the thing that Satan wants. See, so that's the will is the place that Satan really wants to get to. Because if he can get to your will, he can get to your destiny. All right? So that's why he tries to affect your memory, tries to affect your intellect, tries to affect your emotions, so that your emotions, your will, your intellect can send shaky signals to the will so that improper decisions can be made. All right, so we're going to break the will down, and we're going to talk about the will, how to strengthen the will. The will can be strengthened. There's one way that the will is strengthened, and we're going to find that out. But the will is the part of the soul. Listen to me again. The part of the soul that will cause decisions to be made. That's where your decisions come from, the will. So we have to, with our will, we have to make sure that it's being fed the right information. That's why we talk about the memory, talk about the intellect, talk about the emotions. You never should make a decision angry. You see how that works? Because if your emotion sending that signal to your will gonna be, ain't no telling what your will gonna decide to do. How many of that happened to? You was angry and you reacted out of anger and you made a decision, and then when you look back, you were like, I really won't do that. You see, that was your emotions sending your will the wrong signal. So watch this. And all of that comes from the sin nature, by the way. All that comes from the sin nature. All that comes from and really what the sin nature is. The sin nature is simply this: us trying to figure out the meaning of life without God. That's what the sin nature is. So now, when I'm trying to figure out the meaning of life without God, I have no boundaries. So when I have no boundaries, I go anywhere looking for the meaning of life, even into territory that will destroy me. The sin nature causes us to go into territories and search for the meaning of life without the creator of life. And so Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross took care of our sin nature, allow us to overcome our sin nature. Meaning we don't have to try to figure out the meaning of life without the Creator. Because now the Creator is living on the inside of me. The Creator is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. He is guiding me into all truth. Watch this in Romans, the 7th chapter. Let me get to it. Seems like it's going to be one of the most confusing passages. Romans, the 7th chapter. Let's start at verse 14. I'm going to do a lot of reading. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. It's the Apostle Paul talking. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's the sin nature. In other words, these actions is people trying to find out the meaning of life, trying to get self-fulfillment. And when you're on a search for self-fulfillment and trying to find it from somewhere else besides the Creator who gave us life, then you will get into some wild things, get into some strange things, trying to find this meaning. Eventually, just to find out that it's empty anyway. So this is him. This is the Apostle Paul. Verse 17. Now then, is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me? That's the sin nature. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now here we go. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So that's, once again, a lot of people know or understand right from wrong, but why do we have the proclivity to do wrong? That's because of that sin nature. And so if I'm not taking care of my emotions, my memory, my intellect, if I'm not taking all care of all those things, then I'm getting mixed signals to my will, and without God, without his thought process, now my will is causing me to do some things that I know I shouldn't be doing. Verse 19, for the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So I know right from wrong. Verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Once again, that's that sin nature. What is the sin nature? Trying to find the meaning of life without the Creator. So when that happens, I have no boundaries. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. You see that? Warring against the law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's that will. Talk about that will. That will getting its influence from an unrenewed emotion, unrenewed intelligence, unrenewed memory. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Here it is. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, so that with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Before we delve into breaking the soul, breaking the will down, I'm going to tell you how you strengthen the will. Romans the 12th chapter. Let's see, Romans the 12th chapter. Let me get something real quick. Romans the 12th chapter, the second verse. We've gone this many times in this class. And be not conformed to this world. Other words, really saying, don't be conformed to your sin nature. So now, according to this verse, if I don't do what the rest of this verse says, I'm going to conform to my sin nature. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you can recognize the will of God. That's what the Word of God does. The Word of God helps me to strengthen my will. Go to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Proverbs, the 4th chapter. The Word of God helps me to strengthen my will by me meditating the Word of God. I'm able to be transformed. In other words, this sin nature that tries to rise up in my flesh, it has no power over me because I'm using the Word of God to rearrange my thoughts. When my thoughts are rearranged, I'm able to make better decisions. When my thoughts are rearranged, my will is strengthened to do the right thing. Is that making sense? Proverbs, the 4th chapter, look at the 23rd verse. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Do you know what that word issues really means? Boundaries. So in other words, this passage is saying, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes your boundaries. So now just think about somebody who, if they're not keeping their heart with the Word of God, they're keeping it with other information, then that's where their boundaries are going to be. So the Word of God, listen to that, Internet, the Word of God gives us boundaries. Now, watch this now. Listen very carefully. It's like boundaries in a country. We have Canada above us. We have Mexico below us. There's a boundary in between both countries. Now, do people cross those boundaries? But in order to cross those boundaries, they have to have permission. Passport, permission. So watch this now. So once I keep my heart with the Word of God, now I'm able to go into places where God calls for me to go. I can cross boundaries because I'm going because my heart is kept. And when I go, I'm going for the reasons God is sending me. So my will can't be affected. Can't nobody influence me. Can't nobody cause me to walk away from what God has called me to do. So when I take the Word of God and keep my heart, keep my soul, keep my mind, keep my memory, keep my intellect, keep my emotions, when I do that, that's where my boundaries come from. And I keep my heart with all, and he said, keep it with all diligence. You got to work at it. You got to work at keeping your, listen, they, with this grace message, you ain't got to do nothing. You just live. It ain't just live. You got to hide the Word of God in your heart so that out of the heart are the issues of life, are the boundaries of life. See, when you have boundaries, you can get to the line, and the Holy Spirit, through conviction, said, don't cross this. You're finna get over to some territory. You're strong enough with your will, or strong enough. See, there's two words that the will loves, and you have to be proficient at them. It's yes and no. Yes and no. You can't be wishy-washy. It's got to be yes and no. You got to have a definitive yes and a definitive no. The only way that it happens is with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Renewing your mind so you're not conforming to the world. Or better yet, clearer, you're not allowing the sin nature to make you behave in a certain way. You're not conforming, you're transforming. The way we transform is how we think. You want to see how a person's future is? Just listen to them talking today in the present. If you listen to them talking in the present, you can know how their future is going to be. Because out of the abundance of the heart. So now, the mouth speaks what comes out of the heart, but the issues of life come out of the heart too. So when you hear a person talk, you can tell how their future going to be. You can listen to the person talking and see if they have any boundaries. Should their heart, if they're keeping their heart with all diligence. See, the reason why some people can do just anything, especially Christians, some reason why some Christians can just do anything is because their heart is not being kept with all diligence, so there are no boundaries. Something got into their thought process that made them think it was okay to do this, contrary to the Word of God. See, so when you renew your mind with the Word of God, one thing it does, when you renew your mind with the Word of God, or you, let me say it like this, when you meditate, go to Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, the first chapter, and Psalms, the first chapter. See, we're trying, you have to make a shift from the written Word of God to the speaking Word of God. See, the written Word of God is where you want to start, but you want to finish with God talking to you. See, when you have God talking to you, you don't have to have nobody over your shoulder telling you that's right and that's wrong. You don't have to have nobody telling you that's the right way to go or don't go down that particular road. Because when you have God talking to you, he will guide you. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word, how he's talking to me. So I'm able to make the right decisions. Mind is being renewed. My will is being strengthened so I can make the right decisions. I can make the right turns. When I need to go left, I can go left. When I need to go right, I can go right. What I told you turn? Joshua 1, watch this. Joshua 1. You know I'm going, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate when? Therein day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. That means you are making the right decisions. That means you're making the right decisions. That means you're dealing with a strong will. Psalms, the first chapter. Psalms, the first chapter, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's keeping your heart with all diligence. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That meditation. When you meditate the Word of God, it leads from thinking about the Word of God to hearing God's voice. When you hear God's voice, Nothing strengthens your will more than hearing the voice of God.
Okay.
When you hear the voice of God for yourself, nothing strengthens your will. Nothing strengthens your will more than that. When the Holy Spirit brings conviction on you, that's the voice of God. Nothing is more powerful than the voice of God when you have conviction or when God is speaking to you. Nothing strengthens your will more than that. Because now you're hearing God talk to you. So now you have direction. Not only do you have direction, Internet, but you have courage to go do what God has called you to do because you've heard the voice of God. So now you can make the decision to go. Make the decision to stop. Make the decision to turn left, turn right, whatever it may be. Your will is the real power. Your will is the thing that releases real power for you in the earth realm. Your will does that. Because when you decide to agree with God, you just untie God's hand to do for you what he wants to do for you. So your will does that. Adam and Eve tied the hands of God with their decision. Jonah tied the hands of God with his decision. Moses tied the hand of God when he struck that rock. Instead of speaking to that rock, he tied the hands of God in his life. See, when we hear the voice of God and don't make the right decision, we tie the hands of God. So your will is the thing that releases God's power in your life. When you, Isaiah 1 and 19. Y'all see that? See, it's not just obedience. It's willing. If you are willing and obedient, that means your memory is in place, in the right place, your emotion in the right place, your intellect is in the right place. Feed your will. And you decide to obey God. Now watch what happens. We look at verse 19, but look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. Because verse 19 doesn't automatically happen. Verse 18 takes place first. Verse 18 is first cousin to Joshua 1 and 8 and Psalms 1 and 3. He said, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Though your sin nature, you trying to figure out the meaning of life without me. Though your actions, that's what he's really saying. Though your actions be as scarlet, just simply for meaning you're going another direction. You're going the wrong way. You're trying to figure this out on your own. Though your sins be as scarlet, by the time we finish reasoning together, your actions are going to be pure. Your actions are going to be fulfilling. Your actions are going to bring you self-gratification. Why? Because you're finding the meaning of life with the Creator. Right? Though they be red, meaning actions, though they were going the wrong direction, they shall be as wool, going to be smooth. Verse 19, then it comes to if ye be willing. Because remember now, you hear the voice of God. The voice of God, when you have confidence in the voice of God, when God speaks to you, you have just now been, your will is at its strongest point. So now you are willing to obey God's voice. He said, if you're willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now, just because a lot of Christians, a lot of times, the voice of God is talking to them, but because they're not familiar with his voice, They can't access that strengthening of the will. That doesn't mean that God's instructions for them are going to change. Because you can't hear his voice don't mean his instructions are going to change. That's why obedience is, has to be willing and obedient. Then you should eat the good of the land. The willing comes from you reasoning with God. So your will is strengthened. When your will is strengthened, God, I want to do this because I'm in love with you. God, I want to do this because I want to please you. God, I want to accomplish this because this is what you want me to do. And now it strengthens you to make the decision to follow his voice. Is that making sense? So so this is why Satan wants to attack your will. And better yet, that's why he tries to attack your emotions. He tries to attack your intellect. This is why he tries to use all of our, listen, this is why he tries to use your environment to affect your memory, to affect your intellect, to affect your intelligence, so that he can access your will, so you can renege on what God is asking you to do. That's why he mentioned about eating the fruit to Eve, so that she can look at it and then say, well, yeah, it does look good. I know what God said, but to me, I think, not we think, I think. It looks good to eat. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is separation from God. See, if I'm reasoning with God, if I'm meditating his word day and night, if I'm transforming my mind by renewing my mind with the word of God, if I'm doing those things, it's not what I think, it's what we think. See, when we think, my will is strengthened. See, I can always tell Christians who have not been spending time with God. You can always tell Christians that have been spending time with God because their will is their lifestyle. You know, we all got family members. They Christian. They born again. They born again. But it's just the lifestyle because it's not we making decisions. Is I'm making decisions. I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to determine what's right and wrong. I'm going to come up with my own set of rules. I'm not keeping my heart so that I have no boundaries. Even though, and I'm liable to travel into a place, into a territory, I'm liable to cross into a boundary in which I can't handle by myself. I'm about to go into some darkness that I'm not sent to go into. I ain't got no light with me. See, when God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, that's all that was happening. He by their choice, because they wanted to figure out the meaning of life for themselves, he was letting them go handle situations that he knew they couldn't handle on their own, but they thought they could. That's what happens when Satan, there's nothing new under the sun. Satan, go to John 10:10. Satan been using this same trick. We know this scripture, John 10:10. I'm closing here. We'll talk about the will next week. He said, "A thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now, Satan within himself can't kill you. He can't steal from you. He can't destroy. What Jesus really saying is Satan wants you to act, wants to influence you to destroy yourself. I was preaching Sunday, and the Holy Spirit said, you know what salvation is really about? It's really about you saving you from yourself. That's what salvation is all about. God saving you from yourself. Because anything that happens to us, it comes from our decisions. So when Adam and Eve, I like to say they invented the sin nature. When they invented the sin nature, what they were really saying was, we're going to find out what life is on our own. God, we don't want to walk in the cool of the day with you no more. We're going to try to figure this thing out on our own. And man, when they ate off that tree, it wasn't the fruit was the problem. It was what it represented. What it represented was when God had to put something there to cause an action. When they, as long as they decided not to eat off the tree, what they were saying was, God, I want you to be my source of information. When they ate off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't the fruit, because we don't know what fruit it was. Yes, man, we could be eating the fruit every day. We don't know. Yes, so it wasn't the fruit. It's what it represented was, I'm going to try to find out what this life, what you gave me, this life, I'm going to try to figure it out on my own without you. Yes, that's when the sin nature was developed. And so now Satan comes and tries to enhance that. So this is why Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Other words, I'm redeeming you from the curse of the law. Sin no longer has a bound on you, no authority on you. I'm taking the hold of sin off of you. You're no longer bound by this sin nature. You now, because of my presentation of the blood, my blood to the Father, I've made the blood atonement for you. Now you're able to access the mind of God as you were able to before. Yes, so that's why it's important that you meditate the word of God so you can access the thought of God so your will can be strengthened. So that it's not me making decisions, but it's we making decisions. Because you can make decisions by yourself. I made plenty of them. Oh, don't look at me, Internet. You made plenty of decisions by yourself. It ain't work out too good. But think about your life now. Think back over. Every time you made a decision with God, it was we making a decision. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, it's we making a decision. Then the outcome was always favorable. So you will get tested all the time. You will get tested this week. Yes and no. Wills get tested all the time. Our will to not do this, or our will to do this, or our will to accomplish this. Our will to, even your will sometimes to meditate the word of God. You got to get your body in line and say, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to think about this word of God. And all kind of thoughts start to come. But you have to become, one of the close words that's closely related to the will is discipline. Have to become disciplined.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. See, you have to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You have to do this. It's not God doing it for you. It's you have to do this. And so when you meditate the word of God, the more and more you meditate the word of God, the stronger you become in doing it. That thirst and that hunger, the more you meditate the word of God, the more that thirst and that hunger is developed. When that hunger and thirst is developed, now it becomes easy to deny the flesh. Because that flesh always gonna rise up, because it's still here. So it's always gonna rise up, but it becomes easier to will it down. Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
See, when you meditate the word of God and you keep your heart with all diligence, you out of it are the boundaries of life. So now you know, hey, I got the boundary. One of my boundaries, I ain't going today without meditating the word of God. That's a boundary I set for my, the word of God. That's a boundary I have. I don't care what nobody else do. That's a boundary I have for me. I got to meditate the word of God every day because I want my will to stay strengthened. We'll continue next week. Good night to y'all. Yes, sir.